This is Ranger Kidwell Ross, editor of WorldSweeper.com and the director of the World Sweeping Association. I'm speaking today with Jeff Miles, who's vice president of Key Equipment. They're located in Kansas City, Kansas, with other offices throughout that region. They are an Elgin dealer, but today Jeff is going to talk about the Piranha brush that he kind of pioneered bringing into the United States on a widespread basis. They're made in Canada. Those are now available throughout the Elgin dealer network. Thank you very much, Jeff.
Thank you, Ranger.
So talk to me about the Piranha brush and tell me what your experience has been with it, if you would.
Absolutely. I'll just kind of tell you the history and how I stumbled across it, and you know, you can pick and choose what you
sure.
want to use.
But, mm-hmm.
What really started off is, you know, this is my 27th year in the industry, and I'm very sweeper-minded. I really focus in on the productivity side of sweepers and the mechanical regen, vacuum, things like that, the differences of them. And one thing for sure that has not changed, which always intrigued me, was the side brooms. Is, you know, for instance, when Elgin reinvented the Pelican, the iconic Pelican to the Pelican NP, there was only one part on the entire machine that stayed the exact same part number, and that was a side broom. And in my mind, that's doing, you know, 99% of the work is a side broom, digging it out of the curb line. So that always questioned that. And Elgin, Schwartz, all the manufacturers don't build their own brooms, as you're aware. So I've talked to some of the broom manufacturers, URB and ODB and Keystone, and asking them, and they really just looked at brooms more of as a commodity. You know, it worked yesterday, would build them the same way today type thing. So when I stumbled across Christian on social media, it really intrigued me when I seen that these attachments that he was building, and it gave me an idea in a couple different directions with the steel, with the regular street sweeping attachment, the Piranha for regular street sweeping applications, as well as the one for the track sweeper, which uses poly brooms. And I have a real tough time running the NASCAR sweeper with the regular poly brooms. They're made more for parking lots and cigarette butts and pop cups, not heavy packed down rubber on a race surface. I needed some more scrubbing action. So, I reached out to him. We made connections on social media. He sent me a trial set to use on a demo piece, and I wanted to prove myself before I put my name onto something and get it out to customers. And we did a bunch of bench testing here at Key Equipment Kansas City of the pros and cons. Really, what are we going to gain out of it? So, with the team here at Kansas City, with my parts manager Clint Mays and our service manager Andy Westfall, we spent an afternoon testing it. We painted some squares on the ground to make the eyebrow down broom pattern on a normal side broom, and then we would add the attachment to it and see the advantages to it. And what we found is that just in regular, like say an eyebrow position, we were able to use much less down broom pressure than you would without the attachment on there. So when we put it on there, we were able to click it down a couple clicks and run less down broom pressure, which in turn gives you longevity, as well as it gives, it's much less wear and tear on the bushings, on the pins, everything on side broom components, because you're not working the components near as hard. Hydraulics, hoses, everything.
And I think that's a factor that a lot of people don't think about. They just think about broom wear, so I'm glad you're bringing that in.
You're right on target. I'll get to that as far as just looking at it at the upfront price, because we've ran into a few challenges that I'll tell you how we approach them. But, and then we did a 2x4 test, and it's in here in my parts room. We made it a little display, and I actually made a YouTube video that I can send you the link to that shows with and without it, and how aggressive these bristles can be, the attachments can be when you have them on there. And it basically, we put a 2x4 underneath the regular side broom with normal side broom down broom pressures and let it dig on it. I forget what it was, a minute or 2 minutes, something like that. And then we did it equally with the Piranha on it with less down broom pressure, and it dang well ate through half the 2x4. Showed in his theory for vegetation, packed down material, things like that in the curb line, it showed that there's no doubt that it will do more work with less. But with anything, you know, when we approached the market with it, we became a distributor of his product here in Kansas City, and I slowly started approaching Elgin with it to to show them the advantages of it. And I think they've seen a lot of the attention I was getting on social media and some of the videos and stuff I was putting out on how much, not only attention, but how much more productivity we're getting out of the cyber rooms.
Let me interject again just for a minute, just to emphasize the point you were making about vegetation, because one of the things that I think there's too much of that goes on needlessly is spraying for vegetation when you can dig it out of your curb lines and out of the pavement areas where it's trying to spring up. To me, it's a lot better than having to go through with some kind of a chemical. So, just
absolutely.
From an environmental point.
Environmental side, absolutely. Right? And that's, you know, the chemical guys will counter that just for that topic, because we sell a root control system for sewers that, you know, that cuts roots out of sewers when they grow down, you know, on our other side of our business. So, I addressed it with them, and for your very point, saying, and you know, the flip side of that is they want to apply the herbicide to a vegetation, a curb line that has not been cut away. When it's showing a cut root and it's showing where you actually cut the vegetation is actually that much, or the herbicide is that much less effective then. So you got to live with that eyesore. So it's kind of a double whammy to me. In my eyes, I thought the same thing. Your path you're going is cutting it out with the side room is, with the attachment is better on the environment, less cost because you don't have to buy the herbicide, less manpower, all that. So there's win-wins in many fronts there. I brought it up to one of our sales meetings, and I went and bought a, I was trying to really sell our salespeople on this point. They don't get reimbursed for any kind of a commission with any kind of a accessories or parts that we sell. However, it works great on our demo units. It's going to make the Elgins look that much better. So I was going over it with a class with them, and I went and dug out of an old drawer at my house a toothbrush that was like, you know, 20 years old that I used down in my shop. And then I went and bought a brand new toothbrush. And I held both toothbrushes up in the sales meeting and said, you know, look at the technology that's changed in 20 years. This was a toothbrush 20 years ago, and this is a toothbrush today. And look, it even vibrates when it cleans your teeth, you know. And now you use that same analogy on a street sweeper, and here you've got many generations on all brands of advancement in sweeper technology, but yet here's the same old cyber room we've used for 20 years. There's been no advancement. So the Piranha does that. And so we took it along, and to be honest with you, we've had, I don't know, this is a guess off me, I probably have 25, 30 customers out there now, accounts that are running them. Some of them are fleets, some of them are not. And out of the 25, we've had one negative experience, meaning that the customer didn't see the value in it. And I really analyzed that, and I told Christian the story. I take full responsibility of that, of our company, because we didn't do the due diligence to set it up for a success. We set it up for a failure, and it was strictly just looked at price at that point. But we didn't go and educate the customer that here's the attachment, but you have to run your machine differently. It's different than you've ran it since day one. And that's a habit that we have to break, and we have to do our due diligence of training the customer. So now we'll go out, actually physically put them on the machine with the customer, and we'll spend another hour or two of continuing education of trying to eliminate their habits of running it on, say, the second or the third notch on their side room pressure, that run it all the way on the lightest and only go to your second, third notch when needed and go back to your lightest. And if you do this, you'll see that your brooms will last drastically longer. You'll see less wear and tear over the life of the machine, of bushings, bearings, hydraulic hoses, blah, 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 that I mentioned earlier, as a whole package, and then as well as the productivity that you're gaining, so you don't have to make as many second passes. You're picking up more of the first path, obviously, and now you're digging out a lot more vegetation out of a curb line, but it does take a little bit of operator adjustment. So when you're sweeping, say, with a Pelican, with a hydrostat, you just don't want to sweep at 3 miles per hour. If you do that, yeah, you might cut away a little bit more vegetation, but you have to just be conscious of where the leading edge of those brooms are and put it right on the trunk of that root to cut it out of there. And if you just pause the machine for seconds, it will. And I've tested it myself, and it's worked great. So we We've had great success. The one that was a failure, again, it was one of our employees that just showed up and said, here's this box. We're selling it to you. Your boss told my boss to drop it off, put them on. And that was one that I got a call later and said, they were nice, but we didn't see a big enough value for the cost. So
I think one out of 25 is a pretty good record.
the success story is we got that customer back. I said, well, let's start back from scratch again. And so it's worked really well for us. And, it's APWA that you mentioned. It was kind of my idea. It was that they shipped all the machinery in here, Elgin, and some of it was my own, that we were taking into the show. And at that time, that's when they were working with Elgin about teaming up together. And I just kind of took the bull by the horns and said, hey, I'm going to do this. I want, in marketing, you want something that's different. And side brooms haven't changed in so long. So not only did we put them on all the machinery in the APWA, I had my staff paint them with some fluorescent paint. It was having to be red that matches the red Elgin swooshes on the side of the machine. And golly, did we get a big outpouring of attention, because everybody would walk up and their eyes immediately would go down to that broom and say, what's different with that broom?
That's right. You want them to ask those questions.
Yeah. So it worked out well. And a lot of these sister dealers, McQueen, I think, is a big supporter of the program as well. And they've called, and a lot of other dealers called. And I say the same spiel that I'm telling you. It's like, if you're just going to get in just to sell it as a part, get in it. You're going to fail. You have to get in and really do 100% and then help your customer, and they're going to see productivity results, maintenance costs go down, things like that. And it's typically a pretty good success at that point. So, but we put them on all those. The side element of painting them, I worked with Christian about this a long time ago when we put them on demo units. He was sending them to me, and they were just in a box, and they were all painted black, and they still had the oily gunk on them, that you get when they build side brooms. And so we'd run them through a parts washer. Then I was having the guys paint them like fluorescent orange or yellow, because when you go to turn on the side broom, a whole other element of it almost becomes almost like a strobe light. Because
yeah, it sounds like a safety item.
Exactly. And that's exactly where I was leading. So with kids and stuff that are fascinated with street sweepers, and they see going on the road, that catches their eye, but it's kind of a warning that it's, with yellow and red instead of a green or something that is a safe color, it's another strobe light at the ground where the work's being done. So
I don't know that this is still true or not, but some years ago when I went to Japan and reported on sweeping over there, at the time, because the Japanese apparently have a habit of stepping out on the curb, off the curb line, while they're waiting for the light to change. And they had a required program where you had to have somebody going ahead of the street sweeper because people were walking out into the gutter broom lane. So
wow.
That certainly happens more in some cultures than in others, but that's certainly a side. Go ahead.
That's a good point. That's where I was leading with that as well. So when I called Christian back and said, hey, I added a little marketing. If it's just black and it blends in, it's camouflaged with the black broom behind it, it's not a talking point during a demonstration. So I said, I'm going to paint these up. And he's like, yeah, no problem. And then he took that idea. It wasn't cost prohibitive for him to paint them. So instead, he buys these little reflective sticker things that you go right on the base of it. And it's accomplishing the same thing without painting it. And but for the APWA, I wanted to add a little bit more jazz to it, so I painted them to match the sweepers, and by all means, it was a big attraction to them. So I think the point of the whole story, or maybe your title, just as a suggestion, is, and this is what I tell customers, and I kind of challenge them by saying this. When customers ask about it, like I was approached on social media last week with a guy out of, I believe, Connecticut, and said, was asking about it, because he noticed I post a lot of photos with them on there. And I said, yeah. And he goes, man, I'm just not quite sold on them yet, this and that. And I said, you're right. They are expensive. If you're looking at them as just cost, it's an additional cost, by all means. But if you're considering in the productivity side of things, the extra cutting of vegetation, the less herbicides that are used, as well as less wear and tear, if you look at it in the bigger picture and longer, if you get double the amount of hours out of your side broom, it might cost you more, but it's going to cost you less later. And once I approached him that way, he's like, okay. So he tried it. He reported back already that he likes them. He bought them from the local dealer there, Seeing Wood, and we're with it. So I always challenge the customer saying, you know, if your program is not productivity minded, they're probably not the right attachment for you or right thing for you. But if you guys' number one priority is productivity, by all means, it's the perfect attachment for your machine. No matter if it's a Elgin, Schwartz, Timco, whatever, they'll fit anything for the most part. And we've sold them to Timcos and Schwartzes, and they work well. Elgin wanted me to make sure they do supply the Piranha brushes through all Elgin distributors throughout North America.
Okay.
So not just Key Equipment or directly from Christian. In fact, he's promoting, he wants everybody to go to the FedSig Elgin dealers to buy them for any brand of sweeper that they own.
Well done, and very well put, as befits somebody with as many years of experience as you have, Jeff, and I sure appreciate it.